From somewhere in Northeast Indiana, Mike Davidson lives. And now your host of the podcast, Mike Davidson.
No, I don't smoke, although I have the cough that would make people think I did. Hell yes, Mr. Robrook. Thank you very much. It's me, Mike. This is Mike Davidson Lives. That's the name of the podcast. Thank you for hanging out, downloading all that good junk. Glad to have you with me as feeling a little better recording this a late Friday into an early Saturday morning. I was going to record this Thursday night. Just, God, I think it was at its worst. Like, I would get lightheaded. It would happen, and it just would have made the podcast none too palatable. But a little more subdued here, so I can record now. But yeah, 2 weeks ago felt like crap, and I've been on the back end of this, and the back end is like longer than the actual sickness, if that makes any sense. Like, it's a continuing drainage. I should be all right by Monday, I'm thinking. But, you know, it's nothing too serious. It's not one of those, okay, stay indoors and save lives, you know, typical lies like that. No, it's just like a mid-late spring cold. My son's got a little bit of it. He's been coughing off and on. One of Lana's friends has got it. And like I say, when you get it, first few days you feel like crap. And then the next 2 weeks you feel all right if you can catch your breath. That's where I'm kind of at right now. But not as much coughing today, a little more hopeful about it. By the way, the bub, Logan, my son, turned 3 Thursday. Happy belated to him. He had a cupcake cake, a cake made entirely of cupcakes and frosting. He was excited. He got toys. He got love. He got hugs and kisses. And it's just, it's amazing how much he's grown in these 3 years. It's amazing how much Lana and Hazel have grown, too. I remember all these guys when they were babies, and then too long ago. And now they're walking and talking, and they have their own little personalities, and it's both cool and frustrating and a little bit frightening at times. Speaking of Lana and Hazel, Wednesday, their school had a donuts with an adult type of thing. That's where you go into the school with them for a little donut, little coffee, little juice, hang out with them before they go to class. It's pretty cool. Mostly cool. They were on their best behavior, both Lana and Hazy. But all right, you know how sometimes if you're a parent like myself, you wonder, am I really a good parent? Like, or am I one of those parents you see on Cops or with a CPS called on you? And Wednesday was a stark reminder that, no, I'm not that terrible. Because I'm sitting there. First of all, when you have this donuts with your kids thing, you're in the cafeteria, and it's you and your kids, and you're all crowded together with other families, cafeteria tables, right? This thing started about 8:35. This father and his daughter came in, and he... This poor girl. Her dad looked like he just rolled out of bed. You know, so they're half an hour late to this thing already. And he's like, yeah, after this, I'm going to take my other kid to her field trip to the zoo. Woo! Like, I don't know if that was a genuine excitement or false excitement. I'm going to go with the latter here. But he was going, because he was talking to his buddies also, apparently. I imagine this is kind of a towny thing. They're both from the area that I'm living in currently. He was going, yeah, they won't let me be a group. I can only chaperone my kid. I can't be a group chaperone because I can't get my background check. And I'm like, what? Of course, I'm not talking to him because I'm just listening to him and huddling around my daughters a little closer each time this guy talks. But he goes, yeah, my background check didn't come in through. And they said, well, you know, for $21, we can get your fingerprints. And he goes, well, if you didn't get my fingerprints the first 3 or 4 times you guys had me, you know, why am I going to pay $21? Forget that. And instantly, I found myself to be a better candidate for Father of the Year. And, of course, he and his buddy were casually swearing, dropping F-bombs here and there. It's one of those things like, why are you talking about your criminal history and talking like a sailor around kids? You know, Like, I don't have the cleanest vocabulary. I swear during this podcast, but my kids are not in here right now. They're asleep. And these guys are, you know, swearing their asses off and talking about their criminal histories. And it's just, yeah, you feel bad for other kids. And this poor girl that's with her dad, she's either going to love him unconditionally to the point where she becomes a troublemaker later on in life, or she's going to be horribly embarrassed. I'm hoping she turns out okay. Keep my fingers crossed on that. All right, hey, this weekend, Saturday, May the 4th be with you. May 4th, Star Wars Day, and Free Comic Book Day, both on the same day. So I will be doing some nerd shopping Saturday. But for those wondering, the correct way to watch all of the Star Wars movies, it is as followed. The original Star Wars, A New Hope, Episode 4, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. That's all you need to watch. Don't watch the prequels, and don't waste your time with the Disney ones. By the way, Caitlin Clark made her Indiana Fever debut Friday night against Dallas, preseason game. Doesn't count. She did all right-ish. I think Dallas ended up beating the Fever, but Caitlin Clark did have 21 points. That's the good news. Bad news, 5 turnovers in that game. So she's a little bit nervous, but she seems to have her shooting touch. She may be good yet, as they would say, right? Well, by the way, I saw this in passing. I think Francis Ford Coppola, he's finally got Megalopolis finished. It's this epic that he wrote back in the 80s, he finally got around to filming it, and he financed the film by himself. He sold a portion of his wine empire to get this done. I think the budget is like around, $130 million. So this is an expensive movie for somebody to fund out of pocket, but he made it himself. He's shopping it around currently, and some stills have made their way publicity-wise to all the entertainment magazines. And, you know, it's hard to judge a movie on one frame. But it does, the one frame, it's Adam Driver with the skyline and a beautiful woman behind him. It looks nice. I don't know if the story's going to be any good or not. But I'm thinking, you know, they're saying there's some pushback from studios because they don't want to be saddled with costs. If Francis Ford Coppola funded this movie out of pocket himself, and he's just looking for somebody to distribute and promote the damn thing, even if this thing bombs, you're not going to lose as much money as you would, say, on, like, The Flash or Dial of Destiny or any of the other bombs that happened that were studio-made back in 2023. I mean, the production is already covered. You just have to go out and promote and distribute this thing. So the hit you would take would be like, I don't understand the pushback. I guess because he wants it in IMAX. I don't know if that's a deal breaker or not, but I would say if you're a studio, roll the dice on it and distribute it accordingly. Because again, even if this thing fails, it's not going to fail as badly financially as some of the drivel that's come out of Hollywood. All right, speaking of Hollywood, Jerry Seinfeld, new movie for Netflix, Unfrosted, which is his serial movie. And Jerry, I love you. You know, great stand-up comedian, legendary sitcom. I'm just not feeling it with this movie. A lot of critics aren't either. But I'm thinking a lot of the bad reviews that the movie's getting is due in part to his PC crap comment, where he took a name at the far left for making things less funny. And I agree with him, because, look, I don't consider him a far-right guy. He might be conservative on some things, but he's also from the East Coast, so he's probably middle of the road in his thinking. But I also don't consider Dave Chappelle a far-right comedian. It's just that there are some things that he says that pisses off the left. And remember when The Closer came out and everybody was talking about how this isn't funny, even though streaming-wise, his numbers were hitting, right? But he ruined comedy. So the Jerry Seinfeld comments, the far left and political correct crowd, right? I made it a point to do a snapshot of headlines of think pieces and articles talking about Jerry's comments. Here are just a few of the headlines here. Jerry Seinfeld draws right-wing praise for comments of extreme left. Right-wingers are praising Jerry Seinfeld's powerful comments about the left. Wouldn't be surprised. Left-wing activists claim to boycott Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld's crotchety whiny about PC crap comedy gets it all wrong. That's from the Daily Beast, by the way. Conservative pundits embrace Seinfeld's comments about extreme left killing comedy. Far-right influencers celebrate Jerry Seinfeld once again, claiming PC crap killed comedy. Jerry Seinfeld causes uproar with comments about extreme left and PC crap ruining comedy. TMZ taking a low blow on his age. Jerry Seinfeld goes after extreme left on comedy ahead of 70th birthday. That's a little ageist. Now, would they do this if... would they attack Mel Brooks? If Mel Brooks... Now, Mel Brooks is a lefty, but if he said something that didn't go with the crowd on anything, would they attack his age? Because he's encroaching at 100. You know, yeah, if you get old, you're supposed to shut up. That's the edict here. But it's interesting that everybody had kind of the same take of Jerry Seinfeld that didn't like his comments. It's the extreme right. His thing was, look, you have your audience. You gauge your material on how the audience reacts and go from there. Whereas now, TVs and movies are all pretty much comedic. Now, you always had the TV writer room, right? And the writer room would find ways to go up against standards and practices. Now, you have three or four committees looking at scripts. That was his point with Seinfeld, or with sitcoms. And it's not too often now that you get a movie that's written by like one or two people. Now, like with any Hollywood blockbuster, you have like rewrites out the ass. So he's not wrong. Comedians' material is not filtered through multiple hands. It is their hands, their eyes, their mouths, their ears. It's not somebody from DEI or human resources or standards and practices saying you can't say this shit. That was his point. And these people that are coming out talking about how he's a crotchety, whiny old man defending these groups, well, they seem more like the people saying, get off my lawn. He's the one that's taking a shot at authority. The young and upcoming crowd, the power brokers, are embracing authority. And by the way, you can write as many op-eds about Seinfeld as you want. The guy's worth almost $1 billion, if not more so. He's got plenty of FU money. He really doesn't give a shit. He'll be okay even if Frosted doesn't become the comedy sensation that Seinfeld was all those years ago. All right, so Netflix is a joke. It's a comedy festival every year. I think you might remember it from a year or two ago when Dave Chappelle got attacked by somebody who was a trans homeless person. Yeah, and that's also a sign that somebody who on the far left may or may not have the best sense of humor. When you are a transient trans person, you jump the stage and try to kill somebody. Okay, but Hasan Minhaj, I think he was a correspondent with The Daily Show, and he and another comedian were kind of going at it. You know, they were being friendly and jovial, but basically, he said he got effed out of The Daily Show because of some fact checkers, and Jon Stewart now hosts it one day a year, or one day a week now. But okay, yeah, there's no reason for him to even bring up Jon Stewart here. Jon Stewart's probably doing it because he's bored and has nowhere else to go. But Hasan Minhaj, you know, he's talking about how his comedy, and all comedy, you know, stretches the truth, bends things a little. There's some truth in comedy, but it's not always honest. I get that. You know, you take liberties with it. But he was talking about in one routine where he had to take his daughter to the hospital because white powder was sent to his family. It was supposed to be a joke about racism and everything. Turns out his daughter was never sick, let alone taken to the hospital. Was nowhere near the white powder. So that's a little creepy to me. You know, sometimes I will bend the truth a little bit if I'm making a joke. I don't bring in my kids, and I don't try to make harm a punchline. You know, it seems a little psychotic. So you can say, well, they just wanted to bring John Stewart back all you want. He's only there one day, and I guess he's going to be done once Grumpy Old Men 2 finishes up in November here this month. But once that's done, he's done, and you, dude, have no one to blame but yourself. You can only abuse the audience's trust so much here. And if they find out, hey, your daughter was never sick, that is a lie. It's not a joke. You just lied to them. All right. Speaking of unrealistic expectations, let's go on with the Palestine protests that are happening organically across the country at various universities. There might be one happening near you. But anyway, UNC frat bros, these fraternity guys down there, Chapel Hill, getting praise from everyone, from John Rich to the White House. Like even the Biden White House applauded these guys because they prevented Palestinian protesters from taking down the American flag and running up the Palestinian flag up the flagpole. Yeah, I don't know if the White House praise was genuine or if they were looking at internal polling. Whatever, that's kind of a blow to the Palestinian protests, isn't it? You know, and it's nice to see fraternity guys, as me myself, a recovering fraternity guy, doing something cool. And not being the stereotype or being lied to like they're in a Rolling Stone expose or something. Standing up and protecting the American flag. That should be what unites us all. And I don't care if you're male or female, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, gay, straight, Republican, Democrat, libertarian, socialist, vegan, mediator. That there has to be something that connects us all here in this land, and that would be that thing. And for these spoiled college students to want to tear it down and have another group of college students have to push them back a little bit, that's saying something about... Well, I don't know. You look at these frat guys, and you're like, okay, there's some hope in this country. And then you look at these unshowered masses trying to tear down the flag, and you're like, I don't know. We're kind of at a crossroads here. And that's kind of how I felt when I saw that story earlier this week. All right, so moving cross country here. From North Carolina to California, UCLA. Protesters there, surprise, surprise, in California. Get out of here. You have these skirmishes with the cops and other students trying to go about their lives and, you know, go to class, whereas these other people want to make it all about them. So, at UCLA, pro-Palestine protesters embedded there have appealed for helmets, goggles, and zip ties, but no bagels or coffee amid a tense standoff with police. No bagels? At a Palestine protest? I wonder why. Their encampment came under attack on Tuesday night with, quote, acts of horrific violence reported by the university. In wake of the scene, Students for Justice in Palestine, who want the university to cut financial ties with Israel, released a list of supplies needed for some labeled urgent and all required to be BDS compliant, BDS or Boycott, Divestment, Sanction is a shunning of Israeli companies. Okay, so anything from Israel they don't want. Headlamps, goggles, gas masks, because this is a peaceful protest, as you know, skater helmets, shields, wood for barriers, that sounds peaceful, Knee pads and utility gloves without reinforced knuckles, especially for small hands, were requested, along with vegan and gluten-free foods. But supporters were urged not to send packaged foods, bagels, coffee, bananas, and nuts. The reasons were not immediately clear. Many were quick to point out bagels are Jewish origin, although one supporter said it was because protesters had been inundated with them already. What? Before you freaks lose your mind over the no bagels on the request list, tweeted Emily Wilder, a human rights activist fired from Associated Press. Oh, so she was a journalist for pro-Palestine tweets. I was there today. There are many Jewish participants. There are dozens of bags of donated bagels. They don't need any more bagels, end quote. So you see, some of my best protesters like bagels, but don't send any more. Yeah, so again, a former journalist, now an activist, imagine that, saying that, no, they don't want bagels. It's not because they don't like Jewish people, it's just that they have too many bagels. Yeah. Of course, anybody that's ever had to sit through a meeting knows damn well you can never have too many bagels. They are what make meetings better, right? Well, I'll take that back. You know how Panera has like the cardboard coffee carafes, right? And then they'll bring bagels, but they don't slice them like sandwich-wise. They slice them in half like, you know, that picky eater in the break room that doesn't want to eat the whole donut, so they only take a quarter or half, so they cut the bagel in half, like, that weird way. Whoever decided to do that should be arrested and thrown in jail. But no, don't. It's not because it's a Semitic food. No, it's just we have too many. Ah, I'll tell you one thing that they don't have a lot of is deodorant at these things. How do I know? Well, look at them. They're not doing anything. So yeah, they're not hiding their intentions very well. By the way, the fast food apocalypse in California continues. No word yet on the bagel shops in California, although I imagine they're not doing too well either, because it's just out the ass stupid with the minimum wage going up. So basically, prices have increased because the minimum wage for fast food workers has increased. Let's see, where was this from? I have a screenshot, but the price of a spicy chicken sandwich at a particular location of Chick-fil-A out in California has gone up from $6.29 to $7.09 since mid-February. That is a 13% price increase. Chick-fil-A's prices increased an average of 10.6% during that time period. California's new law boosting the minimum wage for fast food workers in the state to $20 an hour went into effect April 1st, impacting restaurants that have at least 60 locations nationwide, except those that make and sell their own bread. Oddly specific. Okay, it was the Wall Street Journal, by the way. Chipotle said in an investor call last week that prices at its nearly 500 California restaurants, 500 in California Chipotle, climbed 6-7% during the first week of April compared with last year, playing across all of its menus. And if that wasn't enough, there was a viral, there was a viral tweet that had to be fact-checked, Mike, what the hell? They have community notes on Twitter X now. So if there's a story that looks a little suspicious, you can add your two cents to say, no, that's true or false. Zero Hedge, they're kind of an odd Twitter X account. They shared a story recently about how a double steak bowl from Chipotle is $39 in the state of California. Reader adds context. The price of a double steak bowl in San Francisco is around $21. It can easily be checked on the Chipotle website. So see, it wasn't $39. It was an all more affordable $21. Only half of that. That's a deal. $21 for a double steak bowl at a fast food establishment. Oh my goodness. It won't be long, California, before you're eating that fake meat and bugs, I guess. By the way, kudos to Ron DeSantis here. And this is both good news and bad news. The good news is the state of Florida has banned fake meat. It will not be sold in the state of Florida. Because he wants to protect farmers, you know, livestock, you know, with cows and chickens and pigs and whatnot. And, you know, there's some kind of concern about the fact that you're growing protein in a lab dish. It doesn't sound very organic. So he's pushing back against that whole thing. And I got no problem with that. But somebody did point this out on social media. If a state can ban fake meat, what would prohibit a state from banning real meat? Interesting question. Well, all the voters with common sense would leave that state that tried to ban real meat. Yeah, the thing is if you want to eat meat, eat meat. Nobody, I can't imagine anybody going, man, I got to eat some of that lab-grown meat. I mean, if you're a carnivore, you want the real thing. If you're a vegan, you don't give a shit. You're a vegan. I don't understand the push for... I understand the push for lab-grown meat. What I don't understand is where's the market for it, unless, of course, somebody tries to force you to eat the lab-grown meat. It won't be Ron DeSantis, though. So now that's banned in Florida. Good job. This is a little eerie. As you know, planes are falling apart. They're falling out of the sky. We don't know. Well, we do. It's just, you know, they're shittily built. Not all plane crews are great. And let's face it, a lot of the passengers aren't anything to write home about either. But Boeing has had some issues lately. But a second whistleblower of this company, a second one has died. First one died of a gunshot wound. I believe the investigation is still ongoing. It looks to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. This other one, a lot of people are kind of blown away because the guy was like in his early 40s, healthy, fit as a fiddle, and then just got this infection where all of his organs started failing and he died. Out of the blue. Just dead. Eerie stuff. I don't know if Hillary Clinton owns stock in Boeing, but that would be an interesting twist, right? That would make for some great memes. By the way, a couple hundred people lately, going from the skies to the seas, royal and princess ship cruises, getting food poisoning. Just another sign that water is wet. Now, I'm not a big fan of traveling on planes. I haven't done it for a while. I've never been on a cruise ship. I don't understand the appeal of the cruise ship because you're surrounded by a bunch of people. And if you wanted to get away, you're still surrounded by a bunch of people on a cruise ship. And you're like that until you port somewhere, right? I mean, it's always the food on these damn things. They're never good. It's never good. You're always getting sick. And the thing is that it's these old people that go on there whose digestive systems are suspect anyway because, well, they're getting older. So you have these people who need to take it easy and, you know, they hit the crab leg table and this shit's been sitting out for like 6 or 7 hours. And everybody's shocked that, there's an outbreak of diarrhea on this ship. Wouldn't it be easier just to stay in a cabin somewhere and stay away from people? Maybe I'm just too grizzled in my thinking. I'm not this socialite. I'm not somebody that seeks to get sick. For crying out loud, I've had a cough for the last couple of weeks. I don't need this. Okay, finally, as I wrap it up, Dave and Buster's. We were supposed to get one up here in Fort Wayne a couple of years ago, but then these uncertain times happened, and I think that... nobody wanted to go out and play video games and get drunk. But Dave and Buster's, they got locations all over the country. They will now, through an app, let you bet on people playing video games in their establishments. So you can bet on some... You know, that's a good combination. Getting drunk, getting competitive, losing your ass on Guitar Hero at Dave and Buster's. You know, this is something that needs to be explored with other restaurants here. I mean, like churches or Chick-fil-A, they need to have a betting app where you can gamble, you can bet on who's going to win a fist fight over a chicken sandwich. You should be able to bet on brawlers at a local Waffle House. And you know what? You should bet on brawling families at Chuck E. Cheese. That's like the kid version of Dave and Buster's. Someone needs to make this, you know, a little more expansive so we here in Fort Wayne can enjoy it. We don't have a Dave and Buster's. We don't know who's playing what where. Anyway, with all that said and done, I'm done. Till next time, stay fresh, Cheese Bags.
You've been listening to Mike Davidson Live. Be sure to check him out on social media. Like him at facebook.com/mdavidsonlives. Follow him on Twitter. Look for @DavidsonLives.